Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the iTricks Magic Week in Review podcast. This is Michael Lauk sitting in the captain's chair once again. But like I said, special edition, something a little different. Today we have some audio with Scott Wells from the Magic Word podcast. This was supposed to be a video that I recorded at the recent IBM SAM Combined Convention right here in St. Louis, the magic capital of the world. But for various reasons, it just didn't want to upload technical crap, whatever. And frankly, I didn't have time was the biggest reason, because right after the convention, I had to go out of town, and this just wasn't the kind of thing one could do on the road through shaky, unreliable, rental internet along the way. So instead, I figured I'd just take the audio and turn it into this week's podcast. So enjoy. Here you go. Scott Wells.
Oh, hello. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, broadcasting to you live from St. Louis, Missouri, for the 10th International Brotherhood of Magicians and Society of American Magicians Combined Convention. Having a great time here and enjoying a lot of friends, food, and fellowship, as well as some great magic. A lot of competitions going on. Man, there are activities going on all the time. Seems like day and night. I mean, I have attended several FISMs, and this seems to be like a miniature FISM from the standpoint that this is really just a lot of really great high-quality contests. I've seen the stage contest, three different contests so far for stage. We're going to be having this afternoon then a close-up contest. And then later tonight we will have the judging for the independent for the IBM and the SAM, in which that we will then be determining the winners for the stage and perhaps finding out whether the gold medal and the gold cups, or rather, yeah, I guess the gold cups would be later, but the gold medal might be awarded for the IBM. And I believe the SAM has some sort of a similar type of prize. But basically that there are a couple of different organizations that have our own prizes, plus prize money, I believe like $2,500 that you can win with each. And so if you happen to be the best, that you could also be winning up to $5,000, you know, plus maybe a spot to perform at FISM at Rimini next year, which is, of course, going to be July the 5th through the 11th, I believe it is. And I'm going to be going there next year. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. I'll be reporting and doing some live updates, some podcasts on the Magic Word podcast.com, just as I'm doing here from this and every other convention that I attend. I always like to try to spend some time just providing updates on each day so people feel like that they're actually here at the convention, even though they may be at home. So they may not actually be here, but again, kind of vicariously being here. And the same thing for those who actually have been attending the convention, and that's way that they can listen to some of the interviews and chats with people that they didn't get a chance to get around to talk to and kind of relive some of the same experiences. And then finally, of course, I like to have this as an archive so that years in the future they can go back and listen to see who was performing and the talent and, you know, kind of the general vibe of the convention by hearing some of these podcasts. And on my podcast, on the MagicWordPodcast.com, I also include sometimes a few videos. I can walk around the dealer's room, take a little video, post it on YouTube, and then have a link to it on the website, plus, of course, a lot of pictures. I listen to my listeners. I listen to my listeners who send me emails, or they might talk to me while we're at a convention or someplace to say, hey, you know, I suggest you might do this or do that. And someone had once suggested to me that I should perhaps take pictures of some of the people who are on the podcast, because they hear their voices, but they don't know necessarily what they may look like, because it's not just the popular celebrities who people know. For an example, let's say Mike Amar, or somebody who you know what they look like, or, you know, Johnny Thompson or whomever. I mean, we're visiting with those guys, that's one thing. But if I'm talking with someone who is lesser well-known or who is a registrant at the convention, I like to take their pictures then also and post those whenever I think of it. I try to take their picture. And and post that, so that way that people have an idea of who it is that I'm talking to. So all that information is available. Plus, someone else had suggested to me once, it'd be great if you put timestamps, so this way that you talk to so many different guys that we know that we can fast forward to this point to listen to this part of the podcast. And so I, again, like to listen to those little tips. Someone else had suggested that I should put a tag at the beginning and at the end of these podcasts. And so I've been doing that. So, you know, keep your cards and letters coming and your emails. And also when you see me, be sure to let me know that you're a listener. And I would, since this is a commercial-free and ad-free and non-sponsored type of a podcast, that this is really just done through your donations. Sometimes if you're looking at the podcast website, that you will see some ads that are running down at the bottom that might be a banner ad or something. None of those have been paid, are paying me anything. It's just that, let's say I was talking this week with Sandy Marshall from Magic Inc. So we were talking about his convention coming up, and so I posted a banner and a link to their site. Similarly, that if there are other dealers or someone that I'm talking with or someone has a new trick that's out, I'd like to try to promote this as best I can. So the point is I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting anything free for that. So really, you know, this podcast is out of the love of magic, and I really enjoy doing it. And if you enjoy hearing them, then I would appreciate if you have the ability to, in a financial situation that you can donate via PayPal, that would be great. And I would take those PayPal donations at scottwellsmagic@gmail.com. And I'd like to just hear your letters, again, your email, just encouraging me to let me know that you're actually out there. I tell by the analytics, I know that we're kind of far and wide. We have people who are listening from Australia and New Zealand to across Asia and across the UK and the European continent and into South Africa and Sweden and Norway and just worldwide. And so I'm flattered whenever I see the wide reach that the podcast is actually getting to. And, you know, I picked this up originally, of course, from Dodd Vickers, who I'd worked with for a long time with the Magic Newswire. And in his situation, that he had a or has another position now that is requiring a lot of his full time and attention, specifically that he is working in the movie business on location. So he is finding locations in the Atlanta and Georgia area because Hollywood is finding that they have much better tax breaks and everything, I guess, than in Georgia than they have in California. And as a result, he has been, you know, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. I mean, it's just been nonstop. So people often ask me about, you know, what's Dodd up to? Well, you know, he would love to be continuing to do these. And, you know, he and I touch base from time to time. And he's always just great to talk to. But he says, I have a lot of stuff in the archives, which is fabulous and invaluable. But he doesn't have a lot of time to add to it necessarily. Now, here's something that's kind of interesting that he had reported a while back on the Magic Word podcast was to tell us that Bill Kalush and the Conjuring Arts Center is going to be transcribing a lot of, or I think all, of his podcasts. So those will actually be transcribed into the written word, so they'll be available then in a searchable way. So that way, if you're wanting to, you know, hear a podcast that he had done with Dick Cavett or with Neil Patrick Harris or with Johnny Thompson or with Jeff Hobson or, you know, Matt King, whomever. You know, you just kind of can do a search through this database and be able to find basically anything. You know, the Conjuring Arts Center is just a wonderful resource. Bill Kalush and his guys have got something there that is great and an invaluable service, really, for our magic fraternity. But wandered off in different directions over here. So the convention here is great. Next year is going to be, the IBM is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida. The SAM is going to have theirs in Philadelphia. I believe that it's going to be a pretty full year of conventions next year. You know, Craig Mitchell had posted on the Genie Forum, and rightly so, with a very correct assessment. Basically, we're kind of looking at a potential train wreck, you know, next year with so many great conventions that are going to be held. Again, first of all, you're going to be looking at the SAM July 1st through the 5th, and then we go to Rimini, Italy, immediately from the 5th through the 11th of July for the for FISM, and then get back in time for the convention for the IBM in Jacksonville, and that's going to be the 11th through the 15th. No, I'm sorry, 15th through the 19th. Yeah, 15th through the 19th. I'm going to be co-chairman with Mike Stratman for the IBM convention, and Ken Scott is our talent chairman, and we've already got a really good jump on some good talent in our lineup for next year. And then after we take a couple of weeks of a break, then in August we will run over to Las Vegas, where we will then see all the guys for Magic Inc. that Stan Allen's putting on his big conflab. And I believe it's later in November, October, not sure, but later in the fall, then, of course, Genie is going to be having theirs down, I believe, in Florida again. That Richard Kaufman said he wouldn't do it again, but, you know, he's got Joshua Jay and Andy Gladwin who are going to be putting it together. They have successfully revitalized the Magi Fest in Columbus, Ohio. That's always been just an outstanding convention that the Redcoats had put on for a long time. Jeff Hostetler used to be in charge of all that, did a great job. So now he is no longer handling that, but has turned that over to Joshua and Andy. So they have a great convention. As some of you may know, this last year, you know, had Juan Tamariz, you know, and that's just kind of the kickoff. So I'm sure that the Genie convention is going to be really great this next year then, too. The point being, again, that there are at least those four conventions. And I don't want to, you know, forget, of course, the Texas Association of Magicians. Trixie Bond is going to be our president in Austin, Texas, next year. And she's going to be having this as the Year of the Woman Magician. And so there are a lot of women that she's going to be having at the convention, both close-up and stage. So I think that's going to be kind of exciting and a little bit different direction that, that she'll be taking. And so with all those plus the rest of the local and regional conventions, you know, Magic Con and, you know, Abbott's Get Together and, goodness, all the others. And the Midwest Magic Jubilee, of course, that's going to be then here in St. Louis. And that's a great convention, by the way. I want to mention that the Midwest Magic Jubilee is a lot of fun. I have performed there three or four times doing my TV talk show thing, which is really great. You don't get to just hear me talk like you have for the last hour, it seems. But I actually will have somebody up on stage. And if you go to the magicwordpodcast.com and you can do a search, you can find a video where that you can see that I have I think it was recorded at the MAES. I had Eric DeCamps and Denny Haney, Jania Taylor, and David Corsaro, I believe, in that particular episode. But it's, again, kind of a TV talk show kind of a thing. And I've done this a few times then here in St. Louis, and, you know, with TV commercials and, again, have a desk and a chair and some plants and everything. So a lot of fun. And so that's a very good convention. The point is just that there are a ton of things happening then next year that are just going to be a confluence of conventions. Confluence of conventions. There you go. That's what's happening next year. Well, that's about all there is to report that I can think of then right now. So hope you enjoyed that. So for the Magic Word Podcast, and also then for, what is this?
iTrix.
This is Scotty out.
iTrix.com.
Hello, it's Michael back with you for just a second before we go back to Scott Wells. If you have been reading along iTrix lately, you are undoubtedly aware that Joni Spina, who has been an invaluable asset to the magic community the last few years, is having some medical difficulties and could really use some help. If you have been looking for a way that you can help, we are pleased to pass along that until at least the end of July, PayPal donations are being accepted for Joni at registrar@ibmsam.com. So that's just PayPal to registrar, registrar, @ibmsam.com. Now, make sure that you put donation or Joni Spina or something like that in the comments. That was the account to take registrations for the convention. And now that that's over, I don't imagine anything else is coming in, but better to be safe than sorry. If some more formal effort coalesces and there's another way for you to make online donations, we will, of course, pass that along on itrix.com. And now back to Scott Wells. In the second section, we said, hey, Scott, so many people know you from the Magic Word podcast, but they don't necessarily know why they should listen to you or what your background is. So we asked Scott to kind of expand on his I don't know, resume as a magician, I guess would be the best way to put it. So now, once again, with no interruptions from me, is Mr. Scott Wells.
Hello, this is Scott Wells, and, you know, people have asked me why they should listen to my podcast on themagicwordpodcast.com, and who am I, what kind of background do I have, and what's interesting also is I have a lot of friends who have known me for some years but have never really seen me perform. I mean, I know magic, I've been around magic, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but I have, got a lot of performing experience in all kinds of venues and with all types of magic and mentalism, even including escapes and illusions and even livestock, doves and rabbits and big stuff as well. But I'm not always performing for magicians, and I don't perform in public venues. All my stuff has been private. I mean, like with most magicians, of course, who do birthday parties and that kind of a thing, those are private events. And the types of things that I do for adults are corporate parties. Of course, trade shows are open to just those who are registered, and it's not necessarily a public kind of a thing. Some trade shows are open to the public, that may be a home show or a car show or something like that. But for the most part, it's not something that I could invite magicians to come and see, and would they want to? So the point is they really don't see, you know, me perform very often. You know, I remember when I have started, I've just started performing at conventions the last few years. And I've had some people, you know, Howie Schwartzman, you know, I've known for years. And I remember at a Midwest Magic Jubilee of him coming over to me after I'd performed, and he said, you know, I've known you for years, but I've never really seen you perform. He said, you're really good. I was like, oh, well, thank you. And Joan Caesar, you know, after the time, she said, I didn't know you were such a good MC, you know, and I really love doing MC work. But I lecture, you know, and everything then, too, background-wise. Okay, let's see. That I started out as a child, like Bill Cosby said. Boy, there's an old reference from his original comedy album. You know, those big things that were kind of like pre-CDs. Anyhow, the... and as a child, of course, I had a magic kit. Actually, came from St. Louis. My mom and dad had come over here to St. Louis. I believe they probably bought it at Devo's Magic Den, I'm guessing. Brought it back, and again, it was about 8 years old, and it was a Sneaky Pete magic show. And I showed all the kids in the neighborhood, charged them a nickel apiece. And then after that summer, I kind of forgot about it. But I was making money, you know, for way back then doing magic. And so then I never thought about going to a library and picking up a book on tricks or anything like that. So then from there, I started, I kind of forgot about it. It wasn't until many years later I was working with the Boy Scouts as an assistant scoutmaster. And there was an older scoutmaster who showed me a rope trick. And I kind of rekindled an interest in magic, and I thought that's kind of cool. So I started showing the boys at the troop meetings the... rope tricks, and I realized that I could get their attention and then break them up into patrol meetings and realized this had some, you know, really magical powers, not just the trick, but also people would pay attention to what you had to say. Well, my undergraduate degree in college was in advertising in the School of Journalism with a minor in radio and television. So what I wanted to do was to write, direct, and produce television commercials. So that was kind of my long-term goal, is to work for an ad agency and be a master of the media, you know, kind of a thing. But after I had graduated from college, I went to Denver, actually, because I love to ski, and I thought, well, I'll just be geographically located where I wanted to live, and then from there, then find a job. And so I did, and then ended up with a newspaper, and I was a gourmet food editor for a newspaper for a while, because before I got into magic, I was really interested in cooking. Anyhow, moved back to Illinois, got involved with the Scouts, met a woman who later became my wife, We then moved to, I was transferred from Texaco to Tulsa. And I was going to graduate school working on my MBA. And I went to a magic shop just to buy a book on rope tricks to learn some more things for myself. And one thing kind of led to another. I went to a class was being taught by Sandy Rhodes, R-H-O-A-D-E-S, Rhodes. Great guy. And I still keep in contact with him. Well, he was teaching a class in magic. It was a six-week class, once a week, a couple hours a night, in all different phases of magic. And so I was then doing some birthday parties and everything all around Tulsa, and I was working doing shopping malls, street magic, and different kinds of stuff. And then moved to Midland, Texas, where I didn't see any magicians working or around the area at all. So I thought, well, I'll just create my own friends by starting a club. Well, you can't start a club until people know how to do magic. So I started teaching the class like that Sandy had done. So I did that for about 3 years. And I was kind of a big fish in a small pond, you know, with Midland being about 80,000 people, and I think there were about 100,000 over in Odessa. And over the course of the 3 years, I had about, I figured 10% of the people who had come through? I couldn't believe it, thousands of people, you know, over the few years who had taken the class. And so I was on television, the newspaper, and everything. And at that time also, remember, there was a program on the United Way that I was, they had magic as a theme, and it was Thanks to You, It Works Like Magic. And so we used magic, and so I had a prediction at the first of the program as to how much money we were going to raise, you know. And, I should mention also the guy who was the chairman of the United Way that year was George W. Bush. And so he and I actually were friends because he ran Arbusta Oil Company there, and I was consulting with him to hook up natural gas wells and stuff like that. Plus, he was a member of our church, and his twins went to were in the same Sunday school class as one of my sons, and he went to our church. So anyhow, the each week that we had reporting meetings, and so I would George would come over and we would rehearse stuff like, you know, George willing to give the shirt off his back. I mean, made him float, you know, and did a super X, you know, one time, and it had a United Way symbol on one side and dollar bill on the other, and moved them back out of the way and passed a hoop, you know, and got a lot of publicity. Anyhow, that we both made a prediction as to how much money was going to be raised. At the end of the time, I think we had $1.1 million or something that was raised. And then when they brought the envelope from the sheriff's department and opened it, George was off by several thousand dollars. I was off by 75 cents. I pulled out three quarters and handed it to him and said, I hate to be wrong. So there you go. Make it even. And what was cool about that was that not only was the article above the fold on the newspaper in the headlines, but also my name was in like the first paragraph in the article, you know, talking about how that I had made this prediction and I was, you know, 75 cents off. They actually had mentioned that. It was kind of cool. So it wasn't necessarily about all the money that had been raised, but it was more about the magic, you know. It was in the first paragraph or the first page, right underneath the title. You know, anyhow, I thought it was kind of cool. So anyhow, did a lot of birthday parties and everything all around Midland because it was a smaller town, easier to get around. Well, as I moved to Omaha, then Pat Hazel was a buddy of mine I'd known for a number of years then in Omaha, and he was leaving to go to L.A., and he later then became a writer for Jerry Seinfeld and several others. Very funny guy, but he kind of left the restaurants for me to work, and so he introduced me around to the places there in Omaha. So I started working at some of the places where he had previously worked, doing restaurant magic. I had done some restaurant magic on and off in Midland, but not on a regular basis. But once I got to Omaha, that's when I started working on Thursday nights and doing magic, and it was great there at Julio's, I believe it was a place on 20th and Center Street or something like that. For about the 18 months or so that I lived in Omaha. Then moved to, from Omaha to, where do we go next? I think we moved to Houston. And around that time I was working with Northern Natural Gas Company. They got bought out and became Enron. I was with Enron then for a while, left them back in 87 before all of the problems that they had in the crash, of course, later in 2000. But I had come to Houston and started working at the Magic Island. I had been a member of the Magic Islands in Houston since it opened around 84, and I was living in Midland at the time, moved to Omaha, but I still had business in Omaha, in Houston, so I came back from time to time. Got to go to the island. But after I moved to Houston, then I rapidly became one of the regular house magicians, doing close-up, and then also was doing stage there as well. So I was a regular performer that I'd work for weeks at a time or sometimes fill in. There were times, let's say, like Vito Lupo had to go back to New York or would film a commercial, or somebody was just getting, you know, they were late coming back from a cruise, you know, then they would contact me and I'd come down and do my stage show. So I got a lot of really good flight time, you know, working over and over, you know, doing a show, and it was really great. And so from there, I also started doing more corporate shows. I didn't really want to spend time driving around Houston because it was a long drive. You know, if I was going to do a birthday party for $250, I'd rather, you know, drive. If I'm just going to be doing an hour of strolling, I'd rather, you know, work for $500 instead of $250, you know, if I'm going to drive across town. So they're not going to pay that for a birthday party, but they would for an adult party. And, of course, a lot more for corporate parties that would be at hotels, country clubs, resorts, and that like that around Houston. So anyhow, I started focusing more on the corporate market, got more into doing some trade shows. First, did my first trade show, actually, was in Midland many years earlier. Was a car show. But my long-term goal was always to retire early from the energy business and financial trading to go into work cruise ships. So, long story short, once I had turned 55, that's what I did, you know. And within 2 weeks, I had three cruise ship contracts, contact me for doing three different ships dates and four trade shows. So the point is that I had a lot of things that were kind of built up and ready for me to go and do and perform because I had a plan. And so I planned my work, and so then I worked a plan. So I had all of the experience, the contacts, and knew how to do it from my background. A little at a time, it built up, of course, with my background in advertising and promotion and with radio and television and putting together good video, you know, on my website and being able to promote that. My sales skills and negotiating skills that I had accumulated or had learned over the years working trading futures and negotiating contracts just took a long time to learn all of that, you know, plus, of course, what I'd learned in college. So it's been some real-world experience that has really been helpful and has led to whatever modicum of success that I've had, but also given me the opportunity to travel a lot. My job before allowed me to travel such that I could visit with a lot of magicians and also do some other shows in different areas, and I'd take off vacation time to go and do shows in different places around the country or around the world. And so now that I'm retired, I have more time. I say retired from the corporate world, and so now I'm doing magic on a full-time basis. I can, you know, travel wherever, and I lecture. I actually have been booking lecturers for the past, you know, 10 or more years. I've had over 150 lecturers that I've worked with to try to book their lecture tours around the U.S. Sometime I'm going to book myself, I guess, because people said, well, we didn't have you come over and do something. I did go over to England last year, and so in a couple of years, my buddy Eric Rumestan in France is going to help me to put something together in 2016, I think, over on the European continent. Again, yeah, I worked at Magic Castle several times. Again, I was a house magician at the Magic Island. It was a great experience, a lot of fun. I like to get out to the castle. I really like working the close-up room. I like doing things that are close and intimate. I love cocktail parties, strolling. I'd probably say that 70% or maybe of my shows are close-up cocktail parties, hospitality suites, that type of thing. Others are going to be stand-up, you know, after-dinner speaking, you know, MC type of work for some shows, things like that. So, I've got my lecture currently is alternate streams of revenue and magic. In other words, what are other kinds of things that you can do? We all do a little bit of everything, but in order to maximize your profit, you know, find where the money is and follow that. I mean, if that's what you want to do. If you are satisfied in doing something else for less money, that's fine too. Just know where you are and be satisfied. So that 5, 10, 15 years from now, you don't look back and say, well, I wish I would have or could have or should have. By then it's too late. So I think it's important that you have a plan for that 3, 5, 10, 15 year time period. So because when you have a goal in mind, that it will be achieved a lot sooner. I found that in the corporate market, whenever that I would go in and talk with my employer, and they would say, you know, kind of what do you want to do, and I would have a plan, and I found that I had advanced a lot faster because I knew what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. So I think that you could do that too. And the important thing is to pack your parachute, so that way when you jump, you know that it's going to open because you've packed it properly. So I think that's kind of my background and what I would recommend to you guys then too.
That wraps up another edition of the iTrix Magic Week in Review. Once again, this is Michael Lauk thanking Scott Wells for joining us, thanking all of you for listening, and inviting you to come back next week for another podcast. Until then, to keep up with everything happening in the world of magic and illusion, it is iTrix.com.